Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And it's Monday, so you know we're back with another special guest, Mara from the Chattanooga Roller Derby. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you?
Fantastic. Yep.
So I actually go by Hines in roller derby. Everyone just knows me as Hines. I'm
sorry.
Okay. Get it together. Hines. Get it together.
Yeah. Hey. Well.
Don't give away my alter ego. You know, you can't take my alter ego away from me.
No, no. Well, we figured that was your story to tell, not ours.
Right.
So we always like to start the program with a short, simple question. For those who don't know, who is Hines?
Hines. So Hines is a blocker currently with Chattanooga Roller Derby. So I'm one of the people on the track stopping the jammer from getting the points and making them hate their lives. It's kind of what I strive for. You know, I go by a few different egos or alter egos when I play roller derby. So Hines is my main persona. And then I'm also who I think is like the kind of a somewhat friendly one who's a little intense. But I also go by a Bro Choice, who is a total jagweed on the track, ready to crush people. And then Prawn Swanson, who's there to laugh at you while I also destroy you on the track.
That is all amazing.
Right. All right. You know, it depends on the mood. It depends on the mood.
I like it.
Right. All right. So Chip asked the question, who are you?
Yes.
I'm going to ask the question, who were you before you began roller derby?
Oh, man. Seems like so long ago. So I've been playing for about 9 years now. So before I was Hines on the track, I was, you know, not the most timid of people, but I was feel like I was much more timid than I am now. And I was just your, basic person who was out there just trying to find something to harness a bunch of my competitive energy. I would say I was someone who was not nearly as mentally healthy as I am now today, because I get all that pent up energy and everything out on the track. But I found derby, there's a famous quote in roller derby that most of us destroy our bodies to save our souls, and somehow that makes sense. So you go out into derby, you trash your knees and every single part of your body, but you become a better person throughout all of it.
I like that. Destroy my body to save my soul.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we've heard that a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who's been in it for long enough, you know, you stay in it because you love it so much, because you know that it makes you a better person. You know that it's like, it's motivated you to usually just be more assertive and be more confident in who you are. So why leave that?
I like
it. Good answer. It's a good answer. Yes, absolutely.
So what got you into derby?
You know, weird enough. So it had looked like a fun thing. And I think like most people around the era that I had joined, well, a little bit before me, we saw the movie Whip It. It was just like, that's amazing. And it was actually a few years after that I was living in Florida, and the person I was with at the time took me on a business trip with them and then totally bailed on me, just ditched me. And I was stuck in a hotel room bored watching rodeos. And there was like these like 16-year-old kids just doing rodeo and being so amazing. And I was super jealous of just how cool they looked. And I was like, well, I want to do something really fun. Like, screw this dude. I'm going to go play roller derby. And so I just emailed the local team, asked when they had recruitment. This was on a Saturday night. They said they had stuff on Tuesday, and I said, I'll be there. And then 9 years later, I'm still addicted.
It's a hell of a motivator, right?
Yeah. I mean,
screw this guy. I'm going to go play roller derby.
I mean, that's the right kind of motivation.
Well, yeah.
No offense, but he sounds like a dick anyway.
He was a douche.
What do they always say? The greatest revenge is success.
I thought it was just shit in their bed when they're out there.
That's only you, Roger. That's only you.
Ask Amber Heard,
right?
Yeah.
See, that's why I usually tell new skaters, like, all you have to do is just not shit the track.
Wow. Yeah.
They're nervous for the first game. Just don't poop on the track and everything will be okay.
Have you experienced anybody pooping on the track?
As long as you don't poop on the track, I figure that's a successful evening.
Yeah.
You bleed from your nose, but I didn't shit on the track.
Keep it in the shorts. That's all it is, right?
Yeah.
If you become the person that did poop on the track and that forever you are the warning, then like that's a rough start to your derby career. So
I think that's the start and finish of your derby career.
I don't think I'm coming back after that.
No.
Your name would be like Dumpster from now on or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Like you can't live it down.
No. I'm definitely like moving across country.
I'm moving to new country. Read that.
You're the answer to a trivia question at that point. You know,
no other league's going to take you. I mean, like, let's be real. Even if you try to transfer, the tales of your track pooping will follow you everywhere you go.
Start your own league of track poopers.
It's like, say, so how is she on the track? Well, she's the shit. Oh, okay, she's pretty good. No, she's the shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
This went way off track.
It did, you know.
Well, we talked about shitting on track, so.
We were trying to talk about roller derby. Yeah. I brought up poop. Things escalated quickly.
Okay, well, let's get back on track. Yes, definitely a poopless track. You said you've been in derby for 9 years.
Yeah.
And you started in Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have been a lot of places. So I am not too many, but so I started in Florida, in a very small league in St. Petersburg. And about 6 months after I joined, we went to bank track roller derby, which is not very common in this day and age. There's like 8 tracks out there. So then I was there for a few years and played bank track. And then I moved out to the Bay Area and moved out there and started skating with Bay Area Roller Derby, which is a phenomenal team. They were so great. I learned so much there and really just like moved up my skills so much, and skated there for a few years and then moved to Tennessee. When I moved to Tennessee, I actually moved to Nashville, skated with Nashville Roller Derby then. And starting last season, I transferred to Chattanooga Roller Derby.
Okay, so you're fairly new to the Chattanooga area.
I am. I still actually live in Nashville.
Right, but I mean, but like the Chattanooga Roller Derby scene.
Yeah, yep. Last year was my first full season with them.
Okay. How are you liking it so far?
I freaking love it so much.
What made you decide to transition from Nashville to Chattanooga, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so COVID was hard for a lot of leagues. COVID crushed a lot of leagues. And Nashville is still a league. They're just in a rebuilding situation. And so, you know, when COVID allowed for teams to start coming back and playing, unfortunately, I was the only 18 player that had come back to Nashville. And I was just struggling with some challenge there. And I think it was February last year, I had actually flown to Pittsburgh just to play in a game, because it had been so long for me to be able to play. A lot of the skaters with Nashville are newer and are still learning, and, you know, in a lot of derby, you have a don't be a douche rule. Like, if you're in a real game, you go hard the entire time. When people are trying to learn, you don't need to crush their spirits. And unfortunately, there just wasn't opportunity for me to push myself fully in Nashville. So after flying out to Pittsburgh and getting to play and go hard again, I was like, I miss it. And I saw Chattanooga making all these posts about them scheduling games and all of these things. And you know, I knew we would play against Chattanooga as Nashville. So I reached out to some of them and just asked what was going on. Asked if I could try 1 month probation to see if I could commit to the commute and, you know, the attendance with that commute. And after, I think after like 2 weeks, I was like, well, this is it. I'm sold. Like, I'm done.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a hell of a drive, but it's worth it.
About 2 hours. It ain't that bad.
2 hours, 15 minutes.
are you on the other side of Nashville?
So I am. Yeah, I'm in more in North Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's usually, and then with the like time difference.
Like up there near Hendersonville and places like that?
No, not quite. I am still Nashville proper. But I'm kind of like in the, like not in White's Creek, but towards that area.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's on the north side of downtown, really.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so 2 hours, 15. I can tell you that exactly.
You've done that a time or two, maybe?
Like, yeah. Just like two times a week for, you know, a year.
And how's the drive back? Because you got to be exhausted.
The drive back is actually amazing because you gain that hour back and there's no traffic.
Okay.
But it can be a challenge. But usually I'm so amped up, especially after scrimmage night, that, you know, when I was only 15 minutes away from the practice space, I would then spend so much time rethinking scrimmage night and rethinking scenarios and stuff that happened and adjustments that I could have made, things my teammates could have done, things I could have done for my teammates, that I can't fall asleep anyway. So I have those, you know, those 2 hours to just sit there and go through all of it. And listen to a lot of podcasts. So
we know one for sure. We can recommend.
Absolutely.
So you said that you watched the movie Whip It. But if there was like one person that got you into derby, like, who's that, like, idol, I guess you would say? Who's your derby idol?
Oh, that's, like, the worst question ever. No, I'm just joking. Because I would say, like, because especially anybody who's starting roller derby, you know, the person who got me into roller derby was me. Like, derby's hard. Derby is one of the most challenging things I've ever done. And it takes me going to practice every single day. I started working out a ton after I started derby. And so it's me that gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. But as far as people, like once I really got into derby that even continued to inspire me, I guess to be more of an asshole on the track, like just to be honest, like to just be even let that freak flag of competitiveness, like just fly and go hard. There's a skater, Demanda Riot, who skated with Bay Area for years, who is just the nicest person ever off the track. But on the track, it's just, she is brutal. And she is so sneaky and smart at the game that it's just nothing. She's just, God, it's frustrating how good she is.
was she like a mentor to you in a sense, or was there like other girls around you that were mentors for you in that respect? Like, yeah, showing you the ropes and things of that nature?
There have been so many. Like, there's just been absolutely so many over the years. And in so many different ways. Like, she was somebody who is such a fierce and aggressive competitor on the track. There was a skater named Brawlin Angel, who is so smart that for her, she more taught me of like really learning that strategy, really learning how to be smarter than the other people on the track. That if you're smarter than the other people, you can do things and you can walk that gray line of the rules. Because like, you know, you got to walk that gray line, like pass it maybe just a little bit, see where the line is exactly at, to really play to your fullest extent. I've also, you know, even just people here at Chattanooga, I think you know, talked with Chaos. She is someone who just laughs and has so much fun while she's doing it. I mean, I could just, there's a skater named esteemed Bun, who is someone who is small on the track, and I'm 5'3", and I'm like 125 pounds. So, you know, people see me on the track and they're usually like, that's the one I'm going for. And she taught me, like, nah, you just go out there and you crush them.
Right.
I play into my size a lot.
Well, you know the old saying, dynamite comes in small packages. Yeah. So
fuck you up.
Yep, I can tell you're a big ball of dynamite.
I mean, right. You know, I love rewatching footage, and when you can see, like, man, they just keep coming to that side because they see that tiny one and they think, I can knock her over. You can't knock me over.
So is there any, like, because I think we've asked Chaos and a couple of other ones that's been on the show so far about their mental preparation or what they do before a game. Do you have any, like, I don't know, pregame rituals? Is there certain music you like to listen to as you prepare for a game?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have full game day things that I go through. And just even, like, you know, down to I eat certain things around certain times. I usually go do an off skates warm up by myself, go for a run before a game, and we'll do a bunch of just different agility things to get myself sort of going. I usually listen to a lot of punk music while I'm doing that, and we'll just have, like, sort of a playlist going. As soon as I get on the track, though, I put on You Don't Own Me by Leslie Gore. And that's my first, I start there. And then I have a song that I will listen to and repeat while I do a bunch of my stops and warm-ups by The New Politics, called Kings and Queens. And I will listen to, so yeah, I have my songs, I have my things. I like to start with my, like, 1950s Leslie Gore female empowerment song and then go into something a little bit stronger than that. But I know some people get really quiet. I tend to joke around a lot more. I tell people I'm just out there to be a dumb blocker. I'm there to just turn my mind off and just fuck them up. Like, so I try to turn it off.
Yeah. So you said like a lot of punks. So you're like I'm thinking, like, what, Rancid, The Clash, stuff,
yep,
like that.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yep.
Awesome. I like it. I dig it.
Yeah. And then it's kind of an ongoing joke within Chattanooga that I usually have a different thing every time, just sort of talking about ways that, you know, I look at the other team as my enemy. I've had people like, you know, they're just the opponent. I'm like, no, they're my enemy. I'm going to crush them. I'm going to drink their blood. It's fine. It's totally casual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is the greatest thing ever.
Become one with the blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
is anybody thirsty today? Cause, you know, or like, we get to halftime, like, ooh, I'm still hungry. Should we eat some more souls? Cause I think I see some more on the track. Ooh. So,
Oh, that's my style of violence.
Just shank soling everybody. Your soul is mine.
Yeah, exactly. It's stupid. Yeah. I'll be doing it with a smile. So
he did too.
Exactly.
Wow.
Things are, yeah, they escalate. Sorry, I just keep going.
No.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. This is great. This is amazing.
So you're a blocker, but have you thought about, like, jamming or being a pivot?
Oh, see, jammers are the bane of my existence. I hate everything about them.
Okay.
So that's a no.
Even some on your own team, maybe?
Yes.
She just wants to knock them on their ass.
That's just the mindset I have to get into, you know, for game day. So I did jam when I first started, and I did a little bit of that. I get tunnel vision when I jam. And most people look at me, and my typical body type is someone that would normally be expected to be a jammer, a smaller person. But I don't have the eyes for it. I just see straightforward. I get stuck in the hole, and it's something I could get better at. And, you know, I definitely want to work on being able to do things like that. I have pivoted, and hopefully I get out right away. Otherwise, that's a challenge. But when it comes to blocking, that's just, I mean, I can be on the track holding a jammer. I can tell you how much time is left in the jam. If there's people in the box, like I can suddenly see everything when I'm blocking, and keep communicating it to my team. But then when I jam, for some reason, I just like see nothing but the blockers in front of me. And I just go, why can't I get out? Yeah.
So I'm just the blinders on.
I'm a slow, dumb blocker. That's and that's okay.
but you're good at it and you enjoy it. So
exactly. But you know, the jammers get all the glory.
Well, but okay. Let me be that guy and say they wouldn't be able to get the glory if you weren't blocking for them.
Right. Yeah.
Just like a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, yeah, you could throw this big gigantic bomb, but I mean, if you ain't got guys along the line to protect you, you're gonna get your ass.
You know, normally when people watch Derby, if they see a jammer stuck, they assume it's because the jammer's bad, not because the blockers are so amazing. And it's the same thing that when they get out, it's not that like, oh, the blockers made a mistake. It's that the jammer was so great. So
I can understand why you said Sabani, you're a Jixis. I get it now. I get it.
Okay, maybe this is some deep-seated issue of my own. Maybe I just need to.
Just a little bit.
That's fine. You can just take it out in the track. Think about it.
Exactly.
And I will.
Exactly.
And exactly. I will. I'll just, you know, I don't need to focus on the issues. I just need to focus on the jammer.
The issues are in front of you and you run through them.
No, the jammer is the blocker, and the issue is the jammer, and I crush them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So no, I don't know. You know, people have asked, and I do have a jammer alter ego. You know, you got to have all of them, and that one is Hynez. So I'm Hynez when I'm blocking. I'm Hynez when I'm jamming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I mean,
you didn't know you were interviewing like five people, did you?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
We all three have alter egos too, so it's fine.
You do. There's like six of us here right now, so.
Yeah. Well, on that side. I don't know about this side. There might be eight or nine over here.
I was just going with the short answer.
It's getting real crowded in here, you guys.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Golly. These Zoom calls are getting crazy, huh?
But so what is some advice you would give to somebody, or maybe some motivation for somebody who wants to get into Derby but sort of like hesitant?
Well, one, it's the greatest thing ever. Just no question about that. So, but it's a lot of people, their initial thing is, you know, oh, I don't know how to skate, or I'm not aggressive, right? I'm clumsy, all of those. You hear them a million times. It's the same thing anytime you go to a recruitment thing, you're going to hear all those. Most people who started Derby had not skated before. I think I'd gone to the Super Skate for some birthday parties and basic stuff like that, and wasn't very good, and really wasn't that athletic before roller derby. And most people that know me now would be shocked by that. But it's something that, you know, even if you're not amazing at, it's okay to be bad at something. It's okay to be bad. Like, cool, you show up and you're not the all-star, but you can still show up and do it. There's B teams, there's C teams, there's home team stuff that we're, you know, looking at in Chattanooga. And also just an amazing community. It's, you know, I've moved around a few times, and when I moved to Nashville, it was like, you know, within 2 weeks, I have 30 people that I can call up to help, you know, that I know. And it's, you know, even now in Chattanooga, like now I've got like 45 people there that I can reach out to if I need something in Chattanooga. It's just such a phenomenal community that you see people even just posting in all different like derby chats of, hey, I'm going here. Is there somebody I can stay with? You know, and they don't even know each other. People offer up their space. Like, it's just such a badass group of people that give a shit about each other and want to see each other succeed. So like, even when you're not good at it, somebody wants to help you be better.
Yeah. If only more industries were like that, you know
what right? I mean? Yeah,
for real.
You know, like joining Chattanooga, it was, you know, I show up there and, you know, it could initially be seen as I came right around the time that they were doing tryouts for the A-team. And, you know, a lot of the people were still there from the year before, and I'm coming in trying to basically steal somebody's spot on the A-team. And nobody was mean to me about it. Nobody was rude. People are happy for each other. You know, we just did votes for captains and we had four people running for A-team captain. And even, you know, nobody was ever mean to each other about it. Everybody was supportive and trusted that all the people running wanted to see the league be successful. So it was a win no matter who became captain. So it's,
well, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, I know, right?
The best.
Put the team, putting the team before the ego. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's new.
It's very new.
And it's not like that on every team, you know?
Such
like,
a novel idea.
It's wild. It's wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn it, unrealistic.
Something like a movie.
Right.
I was talking to a former teammate recently who was historically a jammer. She's working on blocking now. It would be more of a pivot. And she was talking about, she had brought up an instance one time in a game where she came in as the jammer real hot. We didn't read each other right. I went to go play some offense for her. You know, a collision happened and she just took me out. And she turned around and leaned over to ask me, like, are you okay? And I looked up at her and was like, you get points. And she was like, what? And she just skated off and we got done. And she was like, what was it? I was like, don't you dare ask me if I'm okay. I'm out there to sacrifice. You go get the points. If I fall over and you didn't get any points, like, no, my job, like, we're there for each other. And me as a blocker, lay my ass out. You go get the points. There me giving the jammer glory again.
Wow, you are just so giving.
Yeah,
aren't I?
Selfless.
I'm glad you guys recognize that about me.
Like a true martyr, one would say.
So we've kind of asked the other girls so far, but you're a little newer to the Chattanooga Roller Derby team. In mm-hmm. your short time, who would you say is CRD's biggest rival?
Oh my God. I mean, I think historically it was probably Nashville. But in the new era of where things are going, I'm going to go with Atlanta.
That's pretty much what everybody said.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah, because in the modern, so Atlanta was really high ranked going into COVID. And, you know, this is going to be the first year that we're really getting to see what's happening since COVID. Leagues have lost practice spaces. Leagues have had a lot of transfers, mass exodus, like all sorts of different things are happening. And it's so hard to know who's where. And they've restructured the ranking systems. Like, it's just wild. And we played Atlanta last year and we beat them. Oh, we beat them by like 60 points. It was a glorious win.
Ooh.
Yes, it was.
In our community, we call that a molly whopping.
A molly whopping? All right. Yeah.
Was there like a Donnybrook afterwards? Like, that's fighting.
No, but it was good. It was real good. Now they have some people coming back that weren't there at that time. Like, there's, I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting and exciting season. And Chattanooga's had so many transfers. So it's going to be, I think Atlanta's going to be our big scary one that, oh, I still think we'll crush them.
You should have that confidence. Exactly. You don't want to say it, I'll say it.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to make a few jammers mad at me, eat a few souls, drink a little blood. We'll see what happens.
I like it. I like it. Now, you guys just got a nice new arena. Mm-hmm. Move into the Camp Jordan Arena. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like I know the least than anybody about it because I don't know the Chattanooga area so well. The team has been so excited about it. And I've heard so many positive things. I have not, unfortunately, been able to see the space yet. But it sounds like it's going to be great. It sounds like it's going to be a really positive change for the league. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's a nice space. It's real, really, really big.
Yeah.
That's it's not as big as the Chattanooga Convention Center. Let's be honest.
But that has its own, you know, I mean, I guess I'll have to find a new place to do my warm-up. So it'll take some things. But it's... Yeah, I mean, I trust our leadership so much, and I know that they've been putting in a lot of work to find things to help the league grow and make our games more successful. And so, I mean, just in general, the community there in Chattanooga is so, it's an amazing showing for the games, and it's amazing to see the fans. And so I'm really excited to see how this transition makes that even better. But, you know, I get down to Chattanooga basically for roller derby.
It's not a bad reason to come to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Not a bad reason. I'm just saying.
It's probably one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you guys got a great aquarium.
It is pretty cool, actually.
I love it.
And I mean, like, yeah. Yeah, that's solid.
I actually worked at the Tennessee Aquarium for 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, the first 2 weeks I was there, I was like, oh, man, look at all these awesome fish. The next week, I'm like, fucking fish.
Fucking fish, man.
It does have a cool butterfly exhibit.
Oh, yeah, the butterfly exhibit is awesome. That one, we went about, I want to say maybe 6-7 months ago. We went back because, you know, my little girl hadn't been yet, so we took her. And if you go to the – because it's two separate buildings, the River Journey building and the Ocean Journey building. And you go into the Ocean Journey building, it's got that big 619,000-gallon tank. And you basically the whole building is just you walking around this tank and looking into tank. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And there's jellyfish exhibits and really, really cool stuff. And then there's a big old sea turtle in there. We named him Stewie.
Okay.
And coolest thing. It's like I was looking, and I sat my daughter up there. I'm like, look, it's Stewie. It's almost like he heard me, like we were on some kind of weird wavelength. He like spun and literally swam to the glass. And I was like, okay, this is trippy. Now my daughter thinks I can talk to sea animals. All right, let's go. You know,
but I'm going to have to try that out. I have a 2-year-old myself, so I'll have to test that out.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's really, really cool. I recommend the Ocean Journey more than – now, the River Journey has been around since 92, but Ocean Journey, I think, has been around since like 04 or 05 or something like that. But I like the Ocean Journey building a whole lot easier, a whole lot better. But, I mean, that's, you know, pick and choose. They're both awesome. So if you ever get a chance to go. It's awesome. It's amazing.
I've a few times gotten to go to Chattanooga to actually just get to really hang out with my teammates and do something non-derby related. And I'm trying to find some more times this season to go and do things like that.
Well, I'm sure you have like a real job that's not roller derby. So outside of roller derby, what do you do?
So I run a chocolate factory here in Nashville.
You are speaking to the man's heart right now.
hey, Rod, I got a concept idea. We need to bring some cameras to Nashville.
I think we need to take a trip to Nashville.
Right? Yes.
It's always I have to slow, you know, that delivery, and wait for the what?
No, I mean, that's
we do have some of our. I think we sell some of our stuff at a few of the Krogers there. So it's called Colt's Chocolates. And so we're most known for a 2-ounce peanut butter cup with almond. And then we also make some desserts, which Edley's Barbecue carries our desserts.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think we need first-hand experience with this. Yeah.
I need to try the peanut butter cup with almond.
Yeah,
that sounds delicious.
You just let me know, okay? I can send some your way.
You know what? We will see you May the 6th.
Yeah.
So.
I'll bring some. All right, I'll bring some.
Oh, don't promise me a good time now. Come on.
Yeah.
We usually, you know, sponsor a few of the little skaters baskets and official baskets. So there's usually putting some in those baskets. for people to enjoy.
Now, do you give them to before or after the matches?
You know, they're there in the locker rooms for them to take as they please. I may put a few extra in the opponent's one, hoping that they go a little too hard.
Oh, okay. Should add a little laxative so they can...
Saboteur!
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Chocolate fight. Oof.
Yep. Yep. So.
I'm thinking about it too, Roger.
Okay. I know.
Yeah.
You have like a chocolate river that runs through and then just...
There may have been a few children that have fallen in and disappeared. You know,
okay,
there are a couple pending lawsuits that I'm not, you know, at liberty to discuss right now. But.
Well, I think the statute of limitation hasn't ran out on those yet.
I think the FDA allows like 3 children fingers per candy bar. So I think it's fine.
It's actually 2.5 now. They're getting real strict. But
gosh,
hell, you can always.
First, they don't want them to work. Now we can't eat them. What's the point?
Yeah, they already put spiders in peanut butter anyway, so.
It's delicious. It has crunches to it.
Right.
And they don't put it in there. They just make their way in there and they're like, oh, just let it happen.
Just real quick, no spiders in our chocolate.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well,
no chocolate in spiders.
You just lost a customer, I guess. That's don't why it's peanut butter crunch. Silly. The peanut butter crunch part.
Oh,
that's actually all. I didn't even know Nashville had a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't know
so
either.
Yeah, we're in Englewood, so like East Nashville area.
Okay.
We're in Old Piggly Wiggly building, actually.
Okay.
Okay, right?
There you go.
Does it still smell like pork?
It does not still smell like pork. Okay. I'm now told it smells about... great. Unfortunately, now I'm nose blind to all the delicious chocolate smell. So
have you thought about making like candy bacon?
You know, it's been brought up before. There's a lot of extra stuff you got to do when you start throwing meat in there.
just say it's fake. It's fake.
Just say it's fake.
Yeah, it's chocolate.
Artificial.
Meat.
Yeah. Artificial.
Yeah. It's fake and not bacon.
It's yeah.
Fake and not bacon. Well, then what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, you can either, you know,
chocolate.
I've been asking right. myself that for years.
You can either fry to get botulism.
It's fine.
Oh. Yeah. I think I'll just stick with my peanut butter cups.
No, that's bad. Yes, I like that. But no, we definitely need to write that down. Make a trip to Nashville soon.
Yes, we need to make a trip to Nashville soon. Anyway, we got. I think there's a couple of places you said you wanted to go to, but
no, there's tons of places in Nashville I want to go to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to go to the
zoo. Make it to Nashville. You let me know. I'll show you around the factory.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Do not tease us with a good time, ma'am.
Do not have to ask us twice either. You know, like,
you know, chocolate right off the line. There you go.
We will literally yes. make a whole weekend trip
yep.
out of yes. going to the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
I can't. Boss, I can't come in. Why? I'm going to eat chocolate. Well, bring me back some. Nope. Wait.
No, that's just...
I
can't think of anything else now but chocolate, so
no. Okay, so last week Stovall hit us with this like quote out of nowhere, and it was when you're on the track, you're not competing against the other players, you're competing against yourself. If you had this is just like one word of wisdom or one quote of wisdom from Hines, what is your quote of wisdom?
Quote of wisdom.
Yes. It's like,
oh God.
Stay the fuck out of my way.
I mean, I usually, you know, when we're getting ready, I just say fuck them up.
Don't shit the track.
Don't poop on the track, guys. Yeah. That's my words of wisdom. No, I mean, yeah, I feel like I just fuck them up. That's the, you know, fuck them up, let that freak flag fly. Like that, yeah, because I mean, I go out there, I go out with a lot of energy. I try to go out with a calm intensity. but I know I can definitely be a lot for some people. Luckily in Derby, that doesn't tend to usually be the case. It's a place where you can say, fuck them up or let that freak flag fly and people are cool with it. I can be the weirdo.
Right. We've asked this question before. Do you still, I mean, when people find out that you do roller derby, do they still, is there still that stigma of roller derby of what it used to be in the 80s and 90s? Of,
oh, yeah.
All this was, yeah. what is your normal response to people if they hit you with that stigmatic, like that preconceived notion of what roller derby is? You know, like, what do you normally say to those people?
Well, because yeah. I normally get to, when I tell people I do roller derby, is that they look at me and go, but you're so tiny. You know, so that's what I always get, which is really annoying because I'm just kind of like, well, small people can be strong too. But they, you know, they look at me and go, but you're so tiny. And so I usually go, but I'll fuck you up. And then I, you know, usually tell them, yeah, well, you know, there's actually, you know, it's not what you think of. It's not just elbows to the face. It's a sport. It's a real sport. It's a very competitive sport. There are skaters in it. You know, I'm sure they've probably talked about like Aaron Jackson, who's on the U.S. Olympic speed skating team, who used to play roller derby. So like there's Olympic, you know, medalists who used to play roller derby. It's an actual sport with real strategy. And then I, you know, usually have to explain that it's not on a bank track. It's on a flat track. Nobody will insure a bank track.
But. I was going to say, you mentioned earlier in the conversation that you have done bank track.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the other girls have as well. Which do you prefer?
I would say, I mean, the bank track I feel like is fun in a different way, but it's a whole different set of rules. And I don't feel like you can be as strategic with it. Now, somebody who has been playing bank track for years would probably say that I'm wrong in that. But you know, like you can't run people backwards in bank track. There's a, like, you can't go sideways. You always have to be moving forward. So it's a much faster game. So I think it can be more interesting to watch, especially for like a novice person watching roller derby. But you know, my heart belongs to the sport that I do, which is flat track roller derby. That's my love. Bank track roller derby is fun. And even after I left my league that did bank track, I've gone and done a couple of like tournaments on bank track. And it's fun, but again, it's not my love.
Definitely understand that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we don't want to keep you too long tonight. I realize that, you know, we all have a lot of stuff to do and you probably need to get some sleep before you go to the chocolate factory.
So, and I got my drive to practice tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Wait, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, Chip. We forgot to ask her something.
Oh, okay.
Is it how I'm so amazing? Cause I was born this way.
Okay. I was wondering that, but I
was wondering that. We were going to ask you about your Star Wars fandom.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So how disappointed were you to find out that Darth Jar Jar was not real in episode 9?
Oh my God.
Darth Jar Jar is real and I will make it happen.
You know?
I think it should.
I'm terrified of that, hell. Actually.
Like just pure, like childlike bliss with pure evil would be the greatest thing. He has no limits whatsoever.
That would be terrifying. Thanks for the nightmares I'm about to have this evening.
Thanks for the night terrors, Roger.
Just like, he's so evil. Like, that's all I can hear now.
And be like, young Annie. And then you start just choking people.
Which of them? I just can't get it out.
Anytime I talk, anytime it comes to Star Wars, I will always bring up Darth Jar Jar. That's the number one thing I want.
I'm stealing that from you now. That's fine. Go ahead. Claiming it as my own, in fact.
No, you gotta give Movement Radio the credit on that one.
Yeah, Darth Jar Jar is amazing. Actually, no.
I don't want to be responsible for putting that into the world.
Merch. We need it. You got merch coming.
We need it. I would definitely like a Darth Jar Jar shirt.
Yeah. I'll be buying that merch to burn it because again, it doesn't need to be.
I mean, you know what? Once you get it, you could do with it.
As you're like, oh, here we got your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just you can buy multiple ones to burn if you want.
Yeah,
absolutely. Have a bonfire. It's great.
Yeah.
Of the movies, which is your favorite?
Return of the Jedi. And everybody's always disappointed, and I'm sorry, but
I kind of get that.
And you know, actually, part of my game day, so I have a Star Wars pillow. That's my uncle gave me his pillowcase from when he was a kid. It's inappropriate how old this pillowcase is that I still sleep with. Yeah. I think we did the math recently and I was like, oh, but
I'm sure it's been washed, right?
It's been washed a few times. Yeah.
We can get you a Darth Jar Jar one to go to sleep.
No, but that's, I always need, and I call it Han. So my pillow's name is Han and he is my knee pillow. So after a game, my knees are terrible and I need my Han to really get me then through the next couple of days, usually, because I mean, so Han is my sleeping buddy and, you know, soothes me after a game of roller derby. So girl's dream, right?
I was going to say any significant other has to play second to Han.
That's not fair.
That's not fair.
That's high expectations there.
Like, can anybody really compare it to Han?
Exactly.
We'll just freeze the pillow in carbonite. That's fine.
So, but every time I tell him he loves me, he just, you know.
I know.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I know. Golly.
Yes. Greatest.
You just made Chip's day right there.
What is the reasoning behind Return of the Jedi?
So honestly, I feel like it was just, so my brothers and I used to watch them so much growing up. And I feel like this is the one that we got just stuck on repeat all the time watching. I think it was initially my uncle's favorite. And so somehow it became mine. And it was also a good sort of stopping point for us to have our lightsaber wars. So we would usually try to watch all three, spend a day watching them, and then you need some breaks, you need some time too. So I think it was like there's no real reason, even storyline wise, why I feel like I can say this is the one for me, but I think for some reason it just got a place in my heart where it's like this is the time to smack somebody with a lightsaber.
Okay,
there's never a bad time to slap somebody with a lightsaber.
And then unfortunately, so and then we all came up with Star Wars nicknames for each other, which never became my roller derby nickname, but unfortunately mine came, I say unfortunately, from some of the additional movies. So I was Queen Maradala.
Okay.
And then I have a brother named Darth Paul. And then we have Joby-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
That's the greatest thing I ever heard.
Have you watched any of the series, like Clone Wars, Mandalorian, like including the animated stuff?
So I watched some of the Clone Wars. I watched the Mandalorian, and I used to, you know, have a group that we would get together and all watch the Mandalorian together every week. And then I feel like, and I started reading a bunch of like extended new universe novels and things like that too. And then at a certain point I was like, I don't know, man, I can't focus unless I've watched this. I haven't seen that. And I had to step back for a minute.
Understandable. Because, you know,
I got to run a chocolate factory. I got to play roller derby. I got some stuff going on.
Hey, Chip, what was that one? I watched it over at your house. It was Star Wars related, but it was like
Fanboys.
Not Fanboys. I love that movie. That movie's amazing. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I love Fanboys. Love that movie.
You're talking about Visions.
Spaceballs?
Visions, yes. No, Visions. Oh, Spaceballs is funny too. But now Visions, where
that's
they
not take, actually in the Star Wars universe, sir.
Neither is Darth Jar Jar, but it will happen.
Now, you can't keep bringing up Darth Jar Jar. You can't.
Yeah, what we definitely
you're gonna have every single person that listens to this or watches this is gonna have a fucking nightmare because of you tonight.
No. If my sleep paralysis demon is Darth Jar Jar, I can die happy.
Did you guys ever watch Mystery Science Theater?
Yes.
All right, so you know those same guys did Riff Tracks, and they do some other more modern things under Riff Tracks, and they did the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oof.
I would highly suggest watching the Riff Tracks Star Wars Christmas special episode. It makes it watchable.
Okay.
Okay, I might have to do that then, because that original one is not watchable.
It's not watchable, no.
I think they did it on purpose.
I have watched it, and I cannot bring myself to go back and watch it.
Yeah, you can. It's fine.
Well, after Roger watches the Riff Tracks version, he'll let you know it's slightly more watchable.
I will.
Yeah.
We all need that in our life.
Wow.
But yeah, but what we were talking about was with Visions was it was like six different anime directors, and they directed something in the Star Wars universe in six different anime styles. And I thought that it was like a really, really cool concept. It's on Disney Plus if you want to check it out. The first
episode, it's called Visions.
So like Animatrix.
Well, there's one that's kind of similar to Animatrix. There's one, I think it's episode 3 or 4. I think it's like 6 or 7 episodes or something like that. But the first one is like that old school, scratchy Japanese anime, really, really crazy stuff. I would recommend the first episode, definitely. And then if you like it, you know, continue on to watch the rest of it. But yeah, definitely check that out. It's really, really interesting stuff.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus. Yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, that's the last Star Wars related thing that I think I've watched. And that was like a couple months ago. So, but anyway.
Yeah, I go through phases, and it used to be like my brothers and I, you know, whenever all the new movies were coming out, we would always wait to go see them together in the theater. And so, you know, there'd be those terrible moments, because especially as I moved around the country and things like that, that it'd be like, okay, we can see it at Christmas when I come home for Christmas. Like, no spoilers, you know, for weeks while you're waiting to go see it. And a few years ago, it was like, you know, we weren't going to be around each other in time to see it. And so it was, we went to see it at the same time, all in separate theaters, so then we could come out and immediately call each other afterwards to be like, what the hell? But yeah, so we still even try to like, yeah, but it's been a minute. But I still have my Mara Jade Skywalker figurines, and because, you know, figurines got my name on it, I might as well.
Right. I mean, you see Chip's wall back there.
I see.
Covered with Star Wars stuff.
Oh, I still have more. I have pop figures here and here. Uh-huh. These are the Hot Wheels die-cast vehicles, Series 1 and Series 2. I still haven't unboxed Series 3 and 4 yet. These are all Black Series figures here. I have some of those that I haven't unboxed yet sitting next to me. I have a problem, but it's a good problem.
There are worse problems.
Yeah. You could be smoking, you know.
It's not meth yet.
Don't you know Star Wars figurines are a gateway to meth?
Exactly.
That's right.
That's how you end up with Darth Jar Jar.
But when you come to the Chocolate Factory, there's actually a Lando Calrissian cardboard cutout that is dubbed the head of HR.
So, head of HR.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be leaving with one of us as the souvenir.
Yes,
it's chocolate or the cutout.
Yeah, And it'll be the cutout.
They can. Mara's gonna be like, I'm gonna see what new video's up on Moomin Radio. Let's look at. Wait, what's that doing in the background?
Man. Oh yeah, it'll that's definitely be like
right there. Yes.
Just, you guys can have the Lando, chocolate. I'll take
I'm taking the Lando.
Oh.
But who else will run HR?
Darth Jar Jar.
Yes. So before we go too deep, because we can talk Star Wars and nerd pop culture all day long over here. Yep. Let's give Mara the floor, and aside from come out on the 6th and watch you guys smash Atlanta, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I would say, you know, also if anybody's interested in roller derby at all, come in and checking us out to volunteer. So we are a completely volunteer run organization. That's from skaters to non-skating officials to skating officials. There's a lot to put on a game. The league is growing a ton, which adds even more work, but you know, we do a lot of things to get ourselves out in the community and try to help the community. But I would say, you know, to come check it out and see what a great organization is. Because even if you're thinking, maybe I want to skate, maybe I have no interest in skating, there's a lot of ways to be a part of the group, even without skating. And, you know, so reach out to the league. You know, you can come and try it out. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it is. But, you know, and remember, like, it's okay to be bad. You can show up and be bad at it for a while and probably get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you keep trying, right? It's bound to get better things. But
they say the first step to success is failure.
Yeah. But like if you know how to do some basic addition, you can do scorekeeping. If you know how to use a stopwatch, you can run the penalty box. You know, and we are always looking for people to do different things. Heck, you know, I got a 2-year-old that comes to scrimmage night with me. You want to be a babysitter? No, I'm just joking.
I got 2 kids right now. That's all. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Hey, she loves roller derby though. So
my daughter just turned 3 like 2 days ago. So, you know, she's rambunctious to sell anyway. She just turned 3. My son's 9 going on Ridlin, that kid.
No, I got a 2-year-old learning to potty train at scrimmage. So, you know,
she might be the one who ends up shitting on the track.
I had to skate off the other night mid-practice because she was pooping in her potty, not on the track. But you know, it's a great group. Like that I can manage to do that and have people that like junior skater, like we have a junior roller derby league too. Like there's so many different ways to be involved. And it's just like I said, it's the best. It's just the best. So duh.
All right.
This has been incredible. Thank you for coming on tonight with us and just hanging out with us and just chilling. Oh, for sure. Any social media you want to plug real quick?
Oh no, I'm not big on the social.
Same.
That works.
Works for me.
Yep.
All right. That being said, again, Mara, thank you so much for being here with us. If you want to just hang back for just 1 second, we got to pay a few bills real quick. First of all, shout out to all of you guys for tuning in tonight. Thank you guys so much. And anything you guys want to say before we bounce out of here?
As always, check out movementradio.us. That is your one-stop shop for all things Movement Radio.
What about you, Raj? Anything?
As always, go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, like. Obviously, you watch our videos and share them, especially this great series we've been doing with Chattanooga Roller Derby here. Obviously, today everybody found out about the great Darth Jar Jar. So what else you can learn? Who knows?
I ain't even going to go there. All right. Shout out to all of our sponsors. Obviously, the OG, GearAnime.com, Canva, Zoo Lily, Elementor, Get Response, W.GG, Entertainment Earth, Just Cash Clothing, and AudibleTrial.com. Shout out to all of our friends that's been down with us since day one. You guys know who you are. Again, Mara, thank you so much for being here tonight with us. We really appreciate it. You guys also go check out Chattanooga Roller Girls on May 6th at Camp Jordan Arena. It's going to be a good time. That being said, until next time, thank you guys for watching. Chip, let's hit him with the outro.
Please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and right here on YouTube.
Make sure you follow us on all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check out the YouTube channel, subscribe, click the bell to get notified of our latest videos, streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch, go cop some merch, and movementradio.us, your one-stop shop for all things Movement Radio.
I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And this is Movement Radio.